The Afternoons with Joy podcast is presented by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Afternoons with Joy podcast. I do a radio show on Way FM, and we focus in on the podcast to talk about faith, family, and fun. But this one is specifically about marriage. So if you're not married, there's still a lot you can learn here, but this is so for you if you want to get even better at your marriage, especially during the holidays. It can just bring up a lot of stuff. My husband and I have unnecessary fights during the holiday, and I wanted to figure out why. So I decided to interview an expert all about it. Dr. Greg Smalley is the Vice President of Marriage at Focus on the Family, and he's an amazing author with his wife, Erin. So what you're going to hear at the very end of the podcast is me asking how we can have these special moments during the holidays that we see in Hallmark movies. I want them. I know some people get them, but my expectations always seem to be dashed. So that's at the end of the podcast. But first, we're going to talk about that really important topic, how to handle in-laws. Because if you're spending Christmas with any kind of distant family, you're either with your in-laws or your spouses. So let's get into it. Greg, I know that the holiday season can be stressful for a lot of people, but it's especially hard when in your marriage, someone's going to spend Christmas with the in-laws. And it's me in my marriage. And I love my in-laws. They're great. But I always feel like there's unwritten rules that I am not privy to. And so there's always tension between my husband and me as we prepare. So I would love any advice on holidays with the in-laws.
Yeah, Erin and I have had to navigate this for the last 30 years of our marriage. And I would say the best thing that I've learned about kind of doing, you know, holidays with extended family is that it has to begin by understanding your own expectations, what you're hoping for. Because I tell you what, we often package our expectations of love, togetherness, connection into these holiday times. So almost like we've been disconnected. We haven't seen one another.
Especially this Christmas.
Yeah. And now we're going to finally be together and it's going to be amazing and it'll be deeply connecting. We're going to have so much fun. As a matter of fact, I remember one time feeling very disconnected with my immediate family, and we were scheduled to do a Thanksgiving at a family camp. We were going to speak at it.
Wow.
And so we get there first morning, walking the whole family to breakfast, and two of my kids just break out in this huge argument to the point that one of my kids screams, "I hate this family," and I want out, and she runs off.
No!
And keep in mind, we're the speakers. Like, people are going, who's yelling?
So you're not only mad, you're like, you're actually messing up my job and our reputation.
Exactly. Well, I was so mad. I marched my family back to our little cabin. I found a kid that ran off, and I lectured them. I lit into them. I told them, we will have fun. We will make amazing memories. You guys will get along.
Yeah, because that totally works.
yeah. And then I just stormed out.
Oh, no.
And so Erin kind of follows me, my wife, and she's like, what is going on? And I said, well, first of all, your children are terrible.
It's always what happens.
After we started talking, I realized that I was putting so much pressure on our togetherness time to make up for all the disconnect or for whatever challenges that we were facing as a family, hoping that this would erase all that, that we would leave fully connected and all that. And so the point is that the moment that I realized that my expectations were so high in a way that it was putting too much pressure on a situation, on a holiday time that never could live up to that I went back into the cabin, I apologized, I own that, I said, those are my expectations and I'm letting those go.
Man.
And I would be lying to you if I said, and then we had the Hallmark, you know, moment, and it wasn't. It was okay. We did make some good memories. There were more arguments. But the point being is that any time that we are going to be around extended family, we really do need to take a look at what is my hope, what are my expectations, because more than likely, there's no way that time could ever create that, and thus you're going to be disappointed, and you're going to do like I did and yell at people and just be frustrated. So start there.
Lower the expectations probably too?
I'm saying be aware of what they are, because it might mean that you need to lower them or verbalize that to your husband.
Yeah.
You know, just so that everybody can be on the same page. And so honestly, Aaron and I, when we're going to be around family, we always, depending on whose family, we'll always say, okay, what are your hopes and expectations for this time? And honestly, we say, like, if what would make this time a 10 for you? And it's just how we get at some of those unrealistic expectations, because she and I can then talk that stuff through. It puts us on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say the other thing that I've learned through all these years of doing this with my wife is that if we're going to see her family, then I am automatically her wingman. And if it's my family, she's automatically my wingman. And what I mean by that is that I'm sure you've experienced, when we go home, we slip into these old patterns of it's like I'm an adolescent, you know, in my home, even though I'm a grown adult.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm seeing even with my in-laws. There are these patterns of how they interact with each other, and I'm just like, what is going on?
Right. And it's confusing, but what I will always do, so if we're going to see Aaron's family, I will say, what's the best way that I can support you? How can I show up as your wingman in the best possible way? And actually create some really good dialogue. And she'll say something like, hey, if Aunt so-and-so corners me, you come right over and just stand there, because she won't do whatever if you're standing there. Or if so-and-so tries to get into politics or COVID or have we been vaccinated, please walk over and get us talking about something. Yeah. And what it does is, again, it puts Aaron and I on the same page. Now we're united. I have a good sense and vision of how I can best support her. And then it gives me something, you know, each day, you know, at the end of the day, hey, did anything I could have done differently, or did you feel that support? And it just, it keeps us together, unified in a chaotic, crazy, potentially dysfunctional, you know, situation.
I love that dynamic, because even if my husband's like, I don't really need you to do anything today, it's still a chance to check in, because I know when I'm with my in-laws, sometimes, even though they're my family, I can kind of feel like an outsider because it's new. And, you know, my husband is fully comfortable and I'm not there. But if I feel like I have some kind of role, even if he gives me something, I can feel like, okay, I have a place I can fit in here and be.
Oh, absolutely. And at the end of the day, it's you guys have strengthened your teamwork. You guys are united. And that's always an amazing thing. Like when you guys are operating in that sweet spot of, man, we're on the same page, moving the same direction, speaking the same language, we're a team. Man, you guys are a great team then.
Yeah, and that's always good.
That's the key.
Yeah, that's always good. Can I ask how you handle things like, it probably goes back to expectations, but my family for Christmas, Greg, we open Christmas presents one by one, and we like to show them to each other, and we like to take 4 hours. We might even take a snack break. And when I spend Christmas with my in-laws, they all rip into the presents at the same time like a bunch of savages, and I can't take it. And so I always want to be like, no, let's stop. But because that's what they're used to, in this situation, is it best for me just to like try to go along with it? Because that's their Christmas tradition I'm coming into.
Yeah, I would say if you are at their house and you're doing Christmas with them, I would probably blend more into how they did things. But like Aaron and I, almost exact same issue. She did Christmas very differently growing up than I did. So in our own home, what we've done is we've blended traditions. And so whereas, you know, my family did the whole, let's take 3 hours and open them one by one.
I love it, Greg.
she was not that way. So what we've learned to do is like Christmas Eve, and they opened presents Christmas Eve. That was like,
oh wow,
I couldn't even wrap my brain around it. I mean, Santa hasn't even delivered anything Christmas
That's
Eve.
Crazy.
And so I would tell her, the only way to do this is Christmas morning. So what we've done is that we go, let's blow through Christmas Eve. Let's do extended family gifts. And let's open those real quick, all on the count of three, to do how she did it. And then Christmas morning, we slow things down and do just from immediate family members. So it's things like that, like figure out, talk it through, like what would a blending, because both have to matter. That's the deeper relationship principle, is that whatever you decide, there has to be room for both in both traditions and for both people in a marriage, or it just, you build resentment and someone feels left out. And so whatever the solution is, figure it out together, but just go at it as, hey, we are a team. Let's figure this out in a way that feels good to you and to me.
Greg, what you're saying is so logical, but I'm just telling you that it needs to be said to couples, because even though it's something as dumb as opening Christmas presents, you get like this mindset where I'm like, no, my way of doing it's right, and you guys are crazy. And, you know, he's like, I don't want to sit for 3 hours, you know. So sometimes you just get stuck in, especially I probably newer first 10 years of marriage, thinking, I've got to convince my new family to do things the way I do it. And that's so bogus. Like, I hear myself, but we still act this way sometimes. And well, so I'm grateful.
Yeah. And it's recognizing that traditions that we grew up with to carry into our own marriage is so important for building identity. So, I mean, we want to do both. We want to create new blended ones together. But, you know, to the best of our ability, I want to carry those traditions that Aaron grew up with into our marriage. We'll find other things to do. I mean, so both are important.
Yeah, that's good. This is a conversation I need to have with my husband on what our Christmas will look like.
Well, just tell him I said that your way is the right way.
Thanks, Greg.
You know, doctor.
Listen, he'll never hear this, Greg. You're a doctor. I'm going to use that. Taking a quick break from the conversation to tell you about our show sponsors. It's the holidays, and figuring out what to buy someone who has everything is so frustrating. I'm grateful that my father-in-law is one of those people who says, don't buy for me, buy for somebody else in my name. One of our amazing podcast sponsors is Food for the Hungry. They have the perfect gift for someone like my father-in-law. They're working to end poverty by going to some of the most vulnerable people in the globe. And they created the Chicken of the Month Club. For just $28 a month, you're providing two chickens for a different vulnerable family every month. It's not just the chickens themselves, it's the eggs that they produce that help these kids. In fact, there's a little boy named Sed who lives in Bolivia with his four siblings. They were all malnourished until they got two chickens as a part of the Chicken of the Month Club because of somebody just like you. And Sed's mother now exclaims, thank God he is recovering and improving. My babies are gaining weight because they're eating these homegrown eggs. And we're doing even better because we can sell the ones we don't need to the store, and they're able to make money for their family. You can provide this. All you got to do if you want to join the Chicken of the Month Club is text the word FLOCK. That's FLOCK to 91979, or click the link in the show notes. This is one of the most expensive times of the year. You're buying Christmas presents, you're getting your house looking good, and you might even be traveling. If you're looking at your budget thinking, we need a little extra money every single month, this could be the time to refinance your home. In fact, my husband and I just did. We don't have to pay our mortgage for 2 months because we just finished signing our papers with United Faith Mortgage. And we had such a good experience. It's a father and son team, John and Ryan, that run United Faith Mortgage. And here's what we loved. They have this direct lender advantage, meaning there's no middleman. And this advantage often allows you to get a better rate. It could save you monthly and lifelong money. It was so simple. Someone even came to our home and helped us sign the final papers while my son ran around wiping Cheeto dust from his hands to everything. It's a simple, easy process. So if you're interested, go to UnitedFaithMortgage.com. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist Number 1330. Equal housing lender. License in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
how do you create special moments as a couple or a family around Christmas time? Because you started into it talking about traditions, but this is such a busy time of the year. And I do have really high expectations. I think a lot of women tend to. It's probably that Hallmark culture that we see these movies where things are like beautifully decorated and there's sweet moments by a fire with hot chocolate. And you want those moments with your spouse and with your kids, but some Christmases, it doesn't happen at all. So is there a way to still make those moments happen?
I think absolutely. And I think you modeled this in the very best way was the mother of Jesus, Mary. In Luke 2:19, this is such a fantastic verse. It says, Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. In other words, through the birth of Jesus and all that craziness, I mean, just think. You think we have crazy. I mean, think of all the people showing up, you know, with livestock and shepherds. And
I bet she was overwhelmed.
Exactly. But it says that there were moments that she kind of, you have to visualize her sort of stepping back in the midst of all of who's there, what's going on, in sort of her own silence, just watching, paying attention, allowing these new forming memories to go deeply into her heart. In the way you do that is you think deeply in silence about something. So for me, there will be plenty of times that in the midst of all the family over and all the craziness and all the busyness that I want to step back and just observe in silence and just take in the interactions, the connections, the laughter, the whatever. And then she said, then she thought about them often. In other words, she continued to reflect and think about what was she noticing. Because when we get busy, we tend just to move from thing to thing, and we're not taking time just to ponder and think about and notice what's going on and allow those memories to go deeply, to penetrate deep into our heart. And that's why I just say that there's no simple solution to busyness. But one thing that we can do is an individual is just take moments to where you just observe. You know, I love that. I love watching my adult children now just connect and talk and laugh and be, you know, crazy with each other. And instead of feeling like I need to jump in and immediately be a part of it, I can just observe and just allow that experience to soak deeply into my heart. And so I think that's one thing that we can do. I think the other is sort of what we've been talking about is the power of really making sure you have both new and old traditions as a part of your holiday celebration. Like what I did last year, and it worked out so well, and it was so much fun for Christmas morning. I told you, right, that Aaron loves Christmas Eve. Well, I love Christmas morning. And so what I did this time is that I took all the presents that everybody would unwrap one by one, mind you, slowly. And I put those in a room, and the room was locked, you know, symbolically locked. And I found a little escape room, you know, game that the whole family had to go through, and they had to literally escape into the room where the Christmas presents were.
That's so creative and fun, Greg. I've never heard of that.
It was so much fun that everybody were like, are we doing that again this year? And so I think we have certain traditions, like Christmas Eve, we always have this really cool fondue as a family.
Oh,
it's kind of our formal meal.
I love that
meal.
Too.
Yeah.
Greg, this is great because we don't have very many traditions. We're brand new at having a kid, and we're still kind of a new couple. So you're giving me ideas of things to try.
Oh, I love that because so create new ones, but then also carry, like for us Christmas morning, I grew up, my mom would always make coffee cake. So for whatever reason, that's now our Christmas morning, you know, breakfast is this really cool coffee cake.
That sounds awesome.
And so you need both. So for you guys, you know, figuring out what could be one or two new things that we try and see if it sticks. It may not. But doing new, see, here's what's cool. when you do a new activity with your spouse, it activates the part of your brain that was firing when you first were dating. And so there's a really wild way in which we do a new tradition activity, and it brings back those the butterfly feelings.
Wow.
Simply the brain research shows that. And so there's a great benefit there. But then there's security and stability when we carry through old traditions that we've done and always done and did when we were growing up. And so you get both. You get the security of the old, the new and adventure of the new tradition, and together it really helps us in the midst of busyness.
Mm-hmm. I love that, Greg, because what you want is some romance around the Christmas season too,
right?
But I think we don't even know how to begin to think about that or ask for that when there's kids and schedules and parties and presents. But I love that you're saying try anything new together and that those feelings may then follow, because I miss like the first few Christmases where you were engaged and then married, and now we're just exhausted. Like, did you buy for so-and-so? And so
right.
I think we might try like the fondue idea. And, you know, Christmas is something that my husband's family didn't even have that many traditions. So we get to really experiment this year and try something. And I have a 1.5-year-old. Frankly, Greg, it may go terribly. But to know that's okay, too, like, that's probably proper expectations. Like, I mean, some of the stuff you've tried, I'm sure, wasn't a hit. And they didn't last again.
Like, we did for Thanksgiving this year, one of the nights that I planned a party for the whole family to where it was an ugly Christmas sweater murder mystery. And it was so much fun. Everybody put on their ugly Christmas sweater, and we did this whole, 2-hour little murder mystery.
That's amazing.
So much fun. And they're like, we want to do that every Thanksgiving. So you're right. Some will hit, some will miss.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, whether or not it hits or misses, it's the fact that you did something new and what that does to your brain and how that connects you in a different way. And it does create some romance. It does create those things you were talking about. So that's the benefit, whether it works or not. It actually doesn't matter, because it still was new in something, and that impacts us. So that's what's fun for you guys, to try some new things out and to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll reap the benefits, because you're not going to eliminate the need to go out and buy all the white elephant gifts and the extended, all that stuff is still going to need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're taking some time to step back and just kind of notice what's going on and allow, like Mary did,
be present.
And then try some new fun ways to connect. I'm telling you, you will have a memorable holiday season, I promise you.
Greg, thank you for laying out a really healthy roadmap for us, checking our expectations, great ways to make moments, and I think this is going to be the best Christmas yet. I'll try not to get my expectations too high. But Greg, thank you for spending some time with us and shedding some insight on this so that our marriages can be strong this holiday.
Oh, it's always so much fun to visit with you, so my pleasure.